Welcome to the Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife podcast archive, where you have access to all the amazing insights Dr. Finlayson Fife has shared through hundreds of interviews. I'm Mackenzie, Dr. Finlayson Fife's assistant, and we are so glad that you're here. The following podcast is an excerpt from Jennifer's new podcast called Room for Two. This podcast features coaching sessions with real clients who are working through issues in their emotional and sexual relationships. You'll get to hear real wisdom from Dr. Finlayson Fife, who is uniquely qualified to help couples who grew up in sexually conservative environments to overcome their relational and sexual roadblocks. The podcast can be downloaded and listened to at any time, making it convenient to access Dr. Finlayson Fife's work and insights. If you want to learn more about this new podcast, follow the link in the show notes below to visit the website and subscribe. Next week, Jennifer will be hosting a live Q&A on the Facebook group for annual subscribers. So if you want a chance to ask all your questions and pick her brain, make sure you become an annual subscriber today. The couples in this series are not ongoing clients of Dr. Finlayson Fife. To ensure their anonymity, their names and identifying features have been changed, but their stories and their voices are real. Welcome to Room for Two, Couples Coaching with Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife.
Okay, so welcome Carly and Dave to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
So tell me, if I were to be helpful to you, what would I help you solve?
I think the bottom line is, because of Dave's awesome choice in profession, we have done a lot of waiting in our marriage and in our life. He is an orthodontist, and so just tons of training and tons of time away, tons of separation, all that kind of stuff. And I think that I personally fell victim to a lot of, oh, when he's done, this is going to get better. We're going to connect better. We're going to set boundaries better. We're going to have time to explore intimacy more, all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm raising four kids largely alone along the way, and we are actually done with training now. Like, we're done. He is finished. We're in quote the better part of the experience, and we're realizing that it didn't solve everything. Shocking. I know. And that has led a lot into some resentment, some disappointment in regards to boundaries with his mom, and has made me really kind of shrivel up a little bit sexually and in those kinds of ways, because I've got some concerns there.
Yeah. So things that you thought were going to resolve themselves, in fact, haven't resolved themselves. And so are you saying that, as hard as that training may have been, some of that resentment is now more punctuated or more problematic than it was during the training period?
For sure.
Okay. And how long ago did training end?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
Like exactly 2 years
ago. Okay, good. So Dave, give me your picture of what you'd like help with, or what you understand to be the challenge between you.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to put into words, but the idea of, you know, being able to put so much sacrifice out there of time, effort, commitment, and kicking the proverbial can down the way to resolve issues that have come up with time and commitment and effort being put forth, but having always had that crutch, at least in the past, of the job and the profession take precedence over some of the other things that are important. Just, you know, those things have taken precedence up until now.
Yeah, they've taken precedent, but they've also maybe been I'm going to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're saying they took precedent, and now that they're no longer kind of there, it's exposing something in your mind as well. So how would you define what the trouble is between you that's more evident?
That's a good question. The trouble is that we have a disconnect about the connection that we didn't make when we should have.
Good. And say a little more about that. You have a disconnect about it. You understand it differently, or you understand its source differently. Say more about that.
Your default, it's always easier not to do anything, but you choose to do nothing. So if you choose not to go out on a date this weekend, or things get busy and you don't prioritize it, you made your choice, right? Sometimes, you know, at least during training, it was a lot easier to not do something because the hours were bad, or schedules were bad. The fatigue was constant. Sleep deprivation was incessant. Mm-hmm. And so it was always easier not to do anything by default. Mm-hmm. So by not prioritizing time alone together and spending quality time engaging in dating and courting, mm-hmm. I think we've lapsed a lot of the foundation, the bedrock that we originally dated upon. Mm-hmm. Those important concepts and things that we love about each other just kind of were pushed on pause, and then it's been a struggle.
I haven't gotten them off pause. And so what's your view, Dave, of, given that you may have more time now, sounds like you do, what do you think's interfering with this focus of creating more of a partnership, dating more, or kind of more shared experience?
Breaking down the barriers of expectations, breaking down essentially what needs need to be met. What are the things that need to be realized in order to fulfill that commitment in each other's eyes?
I'm just going to stick with you for a few, couple more questions. What do you feel that Carly wants you to fulfill? If you think about whether the expectations, what do you think they are? Whether or not you agree with them?
That there are boundaries, first of all, set up so that maybe not boundaries is the right word, but maybe that there's maybe a spontaneity, or at least that the want and the desire is there to be able to show up, to perform, to want to be able to go do something.
Carly doesn't feel desired by you, or that you're wanting to be with her. Is that the right idea?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is a hard question, but the more honest you are, the more I can help you. Do you think that that's a fair read on you, that you are ambivalent about the relationship?
Ambivalent is not the right word to describe it. I think that my goals are not congruent with hers right at this moment. I endeavor to have a relationship that is excellent, and I realize that my own shortcomings and personality may not arrive at the precipice of excellence. And so what am I willing to do to get to that point? Or what sorts of tools do I need to have, be equipped with, so that I can understand what is expected of me and then rise to the occasion?
I was just going to make an observation and get a few of Carly's perspectives, but just one observation I have is that you are seeing or experiencing the relationship as a kind of demand or expectation that you ought to fulfill, and perhaps that you want to fulfill and that you want to succeed at, but it's not so much desire driven as it is managing expectations. That's just the language or the meaning that's sort of embedded in the way you're talking about it.
It's almost like if you have 1,000 things to do every day, and you decide, I'm going to pick the top five, and that's what I'm going to knock out today. We're going to get the top five things done. If for some reason number six doesn't get done, then, you know, it's on me, but, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 got knocked out. And so maybe it's an issue of priority, an issue of realizing that, you know, 3, 4, 5 weren't as important as I esteemed them to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can I make a guess? And, you know, I'm trying to be as efficient as I can for an hour long podcast too. So I'm going to take sort of my gut, okay, ahead of maybe what in a regular coaching session I might allow a little more time. But it feels a bit like you're trying to be all things. You're trying to be a lot of things. The guy who's working a lot of hours, trying to provide for his family, trying to keep his wife happy, and that perhaps you're feeling like you're not getting appreciated for your efforts to keep a lot of things going. Is that a fair?
Life's a juggling act. I'm not going to sit there and say that I need it or anything like that, but we all have sacrifices to make, and it's always good to be noticed and appreciated. I'm not saying that she doesn't do that. She certainly does. She's excellent at recognizing the effort and the time and commitment that's in place to help fulfill priorities. So I'm not refuting what you're saying. I'm just saying she does an excellent job at that.
You're saying that your wife does an excellent job, and I'm not disbelieving it. But also, when I said that piece, your eyes teared up a little bit. Do you mind saying kind of what you think was happening when I said that for you?
Well, to be fair, I have a light that's in my eyes here. And my eyes are quite sensitive. So this one over here is tearing because of this guy.
Is that real? Or are you kidding? I mean, did you feel some emotion, or is this 100% a light in your eyes?
I don't know, but I'm still going here.
It's a pass.
Okay. Tell me honestly, again, the more honest, the more I can help you. Did you feel any emotion around that idea that you're trying to do a lot and not fully acknowledged?
I do get acknowledged. I don't know what the level of sufficient is or what level needs to be at.
But you're good at avoiding questions. You're good at not being intimate. I will tell you that. You're good at masking your interior. Did you feel some emotion at the idea that you are trying to handle a lot and still have a frustrated wife?
That yes. That would be a fair assessment.
Okay. Okay, good. That's helpful. So I'm not saying, hey, this is Carly's problem. Okay. I'm just trying to start to unpack what's happening here. Carly, why don't you tell me a little bit about what do you make of the idea that Dave and I are talking about here, which is that Dave's trying to do all the things and trying to keep you happy. And if you happen to be number six, 1 through 5 sort of fall away and he gets critiqued for 6. Do you have thoughts about that idea or how you see it?
Oh, yeah. It's sort of like when you try to mask your own pain because someone always has it worse than you. He's chosen a very noble profession. He never missed a single day of his entire training. He is on time. We both share really common belief systems. He fulfills his callings in that belief system. And so when I start to feel this isn't enough or I'm disappointed, I was really good at hiding it for like a decade. Mm-hmm. You know how they say you should never fight when you're tired or hungry? Mm-hmm. Well, try to not fight with somebody in training because you never will because they're always tired. Yeah. They're always at a deficit. And so I hid things for a really, really long time about not feeling chosen and not being a priority. Mm-hmm. And we're ready to tackle it. Those are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're identifying, Carly, this sense of like, for at least a long time, I was just tucking it away because I could see everything he was doing and I couldn't bring this to the fore. Like I felt that it was too much to ask.
Correct.
Talk about what's happened in the last 2 years. How have you been bringing it to the fore? And then what's been happening if you have been bringing it up? Anyway.
Yeah. We've talked a lot. He's a machine in a lot of ways. He's up at 5 a.m. and he's meditating and doing religious study and biking. And he does that so early as to not impact family time. And that's been a really transformative experience because he's brought to the table a regret about the training years, about the fact that, you know, we just didn't date and we didn't address things. And he recognized those things. And I guess we're stuck in the spot now these past couple of years that every time we talk about it, we don't know how to move past it because I'm always grabbing it. I never got picked then. I'm not getting picked now. And it's just this vicious cycle. Yeah.
And when you say I'm not chosen now, say what you mean by that. Give me in a little more concrete terms.
We've done a lot better at this. We've got two kind of persistent issues. One is just that I'm the assumed caretaker of our family. Mm-hmm. And so plans will be made and executed with the assumption that I'm still home with the kids. That's my assumed role. Whereas if I were to need to go somewhere, I have to check with A, B, C, and D and organize and that kind of thing. And the second is we just this past year moved up the road from his mom and we both feel a desire to set some boundaries there. And it has really exploded in that relationship. And so, you know, Dave has suggested that he's not part of that, if that makes sense, her and my conflict. And that has made me once again feel like we're choosing her feelings and her day-to-day happiness over mine again. And that's something we haven't resolved, haven't been able to.
Okay, good. I'm going to come back to some of those pieces. Tell me about your intimate experience. Like, how is your sexual relationship? Is this feeling of not being chosen playing itself out sexually? And if so, how?
I would say on my part that I largely don't feel desired. I don't feel sexually desired. I don't feel in the day-to-day super desired, which we talked about earlier on. And so it takes a large amount of vulnerability to open up that way. And we really were excited about a couple years ago finishing our family. We've had our last baby, and that this was like the stage to explore. And what it did is it exposed all of the things I'd been feeling for so long, and it's almost made mm-hmm. it worse than it was mm-hmm. when I was hiding it. And so I'm always like, should have just not said anything. I should have mm-hmm. just kept going on that way. But I would mm-hmm. say it's probably at the forefront of our intimacy level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one more question, then I'm going to start giving you some ideas about what I see here. But how do you handle this feeling of, I don't feel desired, I don't feel prioritized? How are you dealing with that now as a couple? How do you talk to Dave about it? Dave, how do you respond to it? Just give me a little bit of that picture.
I think that we don't really talk about it a lot. I mean, kind of what's been said has been said, but I just try to do external things that I feel like will make him like me, love me more. Entrepreneurship business has really taken off, and I thought, oh, I'm contributing to the family in a substantial way, and maybe this will make me more desirable. Mm. So I guess I'm taking external actions to try and mm-hmm. appear that way to him. And I just look for the evidences in, does he choose me when he has a choice? And so that's my gauge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Dave, just give me your response to what Carly is saying about not feeling desired sexually, not feeling kind of like she's a priority in your life. What are your thoughts about that?
I actually feel like he really tries to validate me sexually. Mm-hmm. He constantly grabs my bum and he's sweet through the day and like that way. Mm-hmm. And I guess what I would say is I only feel desirable in that space. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to feel desirable in the whole.
I see. So you're saying if it's specific to sex, then you do feel sexually desired, meaning you think Dave would like to have sex with me.
Right.
But you are saying, I don't necessarily feel desired as a whole person, or that he right. respects me. I'm going to put some words in your mouth. You tell me if they're right. And if they're not, certainly say so. But you don't have the sense of he respects me as sort of his partner in life and his friend and his, the person he wants to be with when he has nothing else to do.
Right.
If it's around sex, yes. But you may think Dave wants to have sex. It's not clear if Dave wants to have sex with me. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I'd say that's accurate. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Dave, do you have any thoughts about that? I mean, again, the more honest you are, the more I can really get to the core issue. It's just, I know these are sensitive ideas, so it's easy to hedge.
I guess I'm not sure how to help her understand that, or how to show, how to be demonstrative of her being a priority. I guess mm-hmm. that it's more an action than it is a word.
Yes.
Those things that I'm doing, the things that I'm choosing, those priorities that we mentioned before need to be revisited and then altered in a way that she feels like she makes the top mark.
Yes. What I see, Dave, is that there's a way in which you're in relationship to your life, that in relationship to others, that makes it hard to prioritize, because my sense is being with Carly is not linked to a sense of freedom and ease for you. And I think the way you're handling it is putting more shoulds on it. And I just would like to unpack that with you a little bit, because I think you're pushing on the intuitive muscle, but it's one that keeps you stuck. Before I talk about that, tell me a little bit about your view of your relationship with your mom and Carly and their relationship.
To access the rest of this episode and more coaching sessions like this one, visit the link to the website in the show notes below. There you can learn more about the podcast and subscribe to it. Become an annual subscriber today. Annual subscribers receive exclusive benefits that you can't get anywhere else, including an opportunity for a free coaching call with Dr. Finlayson Fife, priority access to her live events, a free 30-minute e-course on creating a better sex life, and bonus content such as episodes and Facebook Lives. We are so excited about launching Room for Two and giving you access to more of Dr. Finlayson Fife's wisdom and insight. We hope that you'll subscribe, listen, and gain value from the episodes. Thanks. Have a great week. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about Dr. Finlayson Fife and the work that she does, check out the links in the show notes below to find her website, online courses she offers, information on upcoming events, and her free Facebook group,